1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together, no matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine Show. And, of course, every Thursday from 2 to 4, heavy on entertainment, but also hot topics. And if there's a hot topic out, there is something right now that all of America, actually the world, wants to know. And this is the Real Estate Update starring Terry Cass. Terry, how are you?
Hey, good. How you doing, David?
I am great. It's great to have you back. It's been a little while because there was a holiday in between somewhere.
Yeah, we missed a month. That's right.
But talking about hot topics for the magazine, there's nothing more hot than the fiscal cliff that might be happening within days.
What's the fiscal cliff? I never heard of that.
I know. It's all over the news. The fiscal cliff, it's really sort of scary, and not just for America. I mean, the world, too. And this is how it's been defined. I've seen it defined many different ways, but one way to define the fiscal cliff, and see if you've heard it this way, Terry, the double whammy of tax increases and spending cuts is what's called going over the fiscal cliff. And that, dramatic, too.
I think that was the term fiscal cliff was first quoted by Bernanke.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
really?
Federal Reserve Chairman. I don't remember the date, but it was on one of the radio shows I was listening to. Yeah, I think he coined the phrase fiscal cliff.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, it is quite a...
But don't quote me.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was Bernanke.
It is amazing. It's grown to be big news. People are unhappy, evidently, because it doesn't seem like anyone's doing their job up in Washington. And of course, Terry Cass, you own Greater Phoenix Commercial Investments. Before we get into a little bit of the fiscal cliff, and then we'll talk about the real estate market, tell us specifically, what is Greater Phoenix Commercial Investments?
Well, I'm a real estate broker. I specialize in apartments, mostly smaller apartments, C-grade apartments, investment real estate, anywhere from I'm involved in investment homes, but that's not the majority, all the way up to 50, 100-unit buildings. Mm-hmm. Usually distressed. I'm in a market of more challenging areas and work with buyers, sellers, investors, rehabbers. We're doing, we hope to do some building in the future, actual construction. Yeah, because there's not going to be a lot of inventory here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A whole variety of things. And of course, you know what I like about you, Terry? I've known you how long now? At least 10 years, maybe. Actually, longer than that.
Yeah, I think longer than that.
And the mindset. I mean, people, you hear real estate, people start cringing, although Arizona's doing better, Florida's doing better. I think Nevada might even be doing better.
But, it is.
And California. Those four states got really, hit quite strongly. But what I like is that your never give up attitude. When real estate shook out a lot of brokers and a lot of agents, it did not shake you out. And mindset's everything, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on because I think people have to know how you think.
Yeah, I said this 2012 was my best year in the history of real estate, counting 2005 and 2006 were the best years ever in real estate.
Wow.
I made more money this year than I did in those years.
That that's incredible, and I think people want to hear this.
And that's based on a value loss of 50-80% of value, and I work on commission.
Which is even more remarkable, if you think
about it. I'm not bragging, but I did make, that's how vibrant, at least my field, and including almost all, we'll talk about where the real activity is, and I'll talk about where the upcoming activity is, and we'll talk about where it's still a little bit of a tough market.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we'll go over the formula that a lot of people will want of success because people want to know what you know, and I really think it's a lot of hard work, but a lot of mindset stuff going on, and I know that you got the mindset for success. Now, this fiscal cliff situation, I mean, it's going to go over, I think. I don't think people are going to – I don't think they're going to get a deal done by, Monday?
Every expert is saying zero to none.
I mean, this is amazing. And what happens – so for people out there that aren't quite sure, I mean, there's a lot of – there's various federal tax cuts and breaks enacted under President George W. Bush that will expire at 12/31 this year, 12. And about $1.2 trillion in federal spending cuts begin to kick in, and that's over a 10-year period, so it's $110 billion a year. And also, for people that are unemployed, not good news if it goes over, because the jobless benefits expire for about 2 million unemployed Americans. So it has drastic impact.
Right. But, I mean, on the other side of the coin, first of all, I'm not a believer it's so bad. We'll get into that. But on the other side of the coin, even if it happens on the 1st, the effects don't take place for 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
They can still make a deal. They can make it retroactive. So everybody's, it's not the end of the world on the 1st, because they still have to the end of January before you would actually feel it, because all of the charts, you're an accountant, all the charts have to be revised.
Yeah.
You know, in the tax system, and from what I'm told, even if they hurried it up, it's 2 to 4 weeks before they would actually show up on a paycheck.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Well, that's correct. In this respect, the Treasury Department could freeze paycheck withholding levels, and that means in anticipation that it'd be retroactive.
Yeah.
So they could do that. So not to worry, but with all the sort of the silliness that goes on between both parties, they got to think what's best, don't you think? I mean, they're all
now
having some issues.
It's good that we're both on different sides of the coin here. I don't think it's a bad thing. First of all, we can't have just tax increases, and we can't just have government spending cuts.
We're on the same coin on that.
Okay,
one.
We need both.
Yes.
Now, there is no way we're getting an agreement, because the House wants pretty much not tax increases and spending cuts, and the Obama administration doesn't. So we're probably not going to reach an agreement. We need both.
Yeah.
Now, as bad as this is, I think it's a good thing, because it's going to do both, and it's going to hit the main areas that need to be.
And it does.
Right. The only thing I don't like, and we talked about this earlier, I really don't think you should have tax increases on people that can't afford it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a point where that's not fair.
We agree. I agree with you.
I mean,
totally.
It's kind of a means way of looking at it. I mean, if you are making – look, I don't like tax increases at all, but when you have a $16 trillion debt, sorry, as conservative as I am, we got to do something. We have to do both.
You're being converted. What's going on here?
I am not going to take a tax increase
and
then let the government continue on its ridiculous spending, which is $1 trillion a year over the revenue. On the other hand, I don't think tax cuts alone, I mean, spending cuts alone will do it. We're too far over that.
Yeah.
We are. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. I totally agree. Because, you know, if you think about it, as a business consultant and a CPA, if you look at a business, you just don't raise prices. You just don't look at pricing strategies. You got to look at the efficiency. There's a real problem with inefficiency at the government level and also overspending. I totally agree. It's just a logical business analysis.
But we need both.
Yeah,
if we
don't
do both, it's worldwide we're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the world's not to accept one or the other. We got to do both.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's interesting, according to the Tax Policy Center, going off the cliff, and these are just some facts they came up with, 88% of U.S. taxpayers will see their taxes be raised by an average of $3,500. But you and I both know that, you know, if they don't settle it now, within the next 4 weeks they will. So that may not be so bad, but $2,400 average increase for families over 50 to 70, or incomes between 50 and 75,000. That's where there could be a problem if that's left unattended, because, you know, that's sort of a big tax bill for the middle class, and that will mean less spending, and, you know, with a consumer-oriented economy, that's going to be a problem.
Right.
But I agree with you. I think they're going to – well, they have to. I mean, they
well, they don't have to, but I think they will. Somebody's going to have to agree on something.
Yeah, because the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office also said they predict 9.1% unemployment by then to 2013 if nothing's done. But I don't think that's
going to
happen.
I was listening to is it okay to say another radio show?
Oh, sure.
No, I was listening to Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a satellite.
Sure.
I listen to them a lot because I like their business news. And now I forgot my train of thought because I asked you.
The last thing I said is unemployment could raise by 9.1. Okay. Yeah.
They were reading one of the surveys that was done of business people. And they asked them, what's the most important thing affecting you hiring people or not hiring people? Fiscal cliff didn't even come into it. Uncertainty.
Yeah.
There is literally almost, this was a small business survey, but they also talked about large businesses like Apple. Small businesses are looking for a good future, 2013, but nobody's hiring. The reason they said they're not hiring is because there's too much uncertainty with the fiscal cliff, with Obamacare, with the government's inefficiency. They said that's their number one. So they feel they're going to business is going to go good and improve. They're not going to fire anybody. They're not going to hire anybody. Big companies, I don't know the number. I think it's $1.3 trillion most big companies are sitting in cash. Apple, I think, sitting on $80 billion.
I've heard
they won't invest either. Because purely based on uncertainty. And the problem we got is we got our politicians, and I'll point to both sides. As long as these two sides can't agree on a reasonable philosophy, they're holding the economy down just because the business is just too uncertain.
I totally agree, because if you talk to the CEOs and the CFOs, is that they can deal with, hey, if we knew what the tax increase was,
no problem.
We can budget it.
Yes.
I totally agree.
Yeah, they have no problem.
We're on the same side. Yeah, yes. How did that happen? I want to know.
No, they all agreed. It was like unanimous on all of the surveys done of big and small companies.
Absolutely.
They can't deal with uncertainty, and that's all we had.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So you and I need to go to Washington and figure out a way to convince these politicians to just whatever it takes, compromise, but do the right thing. And the right thing is like what you said. I like what you said, Terry, is spending cuts clearly and, you know, maybe on the higher income people, some tax increases. I have a lot of wealthy clients, and really they can afford it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't mind paying the extra taxes because it has to be done.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of we have to do it. We can't keep the debt, the interest on the debt and expanding the debt is ridiculous.
And it'll help everyone, really.
Yeah, well, it's
going to
hurt everybody and help everybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the spending cuts, the Congressional Budget Office looking at 8 to 9% budget cuts, and which you said you really like that, would hit most of the federal government, including agriculture, law enforcement. And the military.
Well, they said entitlements and military is the most of it. And those are the two most bloated programs we got.
They are bloated.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with either one of those getting cut, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's not too bad. Now, of course, the $1 million Plan B thing didn't quite work. Boehner didn't get the votes in his own party for that.
Get like 50 or 60 of them to go.
That was sort of interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, those were the House members that had run on no new taxes at all.
Yeah.
And they just said they couldn't. And again, I'm not 100% sure. I'm hearing this from all the different programs. They couldn't raise the taxes. So,
and you know what's interesting is Plan B. They called it Plan B. The trivia question, do you know what Plan B, the actual name of Plan B was?
No. No
it's
clue.
The Permanent Tax Relief for Families and Small Business Act of 2012. I love the names, right? Like Obamacare is really the Affordable Care Act, right? And there's other real names. There's really legitimate or actually, different titles to these.
Actually tied into Obamacare, I was out with a client showing him properties that he invested in. This is a client who I sold four properties, never seen him. He's owned them for a year, has never seen the property.
Oh, really?
California investor. Nice guy. Orthopedic surgeon. Doing very well, very happy with the property. He's been making money, so he's got no complaints. But I asked him about Obamacare, and again, his main answer was uncertainty.
Yeah,
he didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So therefore he can't plan.
I agree. I mean, planning is everything, and if you know what's coming up, you can plan, and the great successful businessman can get around anything legitimately, of course. But you just have to know. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go over more information on the fiscal cliff, and then get into the real estate market, how this might impact it. But you're going to listen to Terry Cass. I call him the real estate guru. He really knows his stuff, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hershberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly. Whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4. Of course, Breakthrough Thinking, The Magazine. And, of course, Breakthrough Thinking is on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4, with sports programming Wednesday and Friday, The Magazine Thursday, and business psychology-type programs Monday and Tuesday, all 2 to 4, here on KXXT 1010 AM. And okay, so let's see. Should we get right into it? One of my friends, a syndicated talk show radio host right here on 1010 as well as throughout the country, Steve Sanchez, welcome to the show.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. I'm agreeing with a lot of what you guys are saying, but guys, you're killing me.
Well,
raising taxes? Come on.
Okay, let me introduce you to Terry Cass. I've known Terry, 10 to 15 years, and so
I'll see. To come on your show.
You guys battle it out. I'm going to be right here as the moderator. So, Steve, let me hear from you. We heard from Terry, and then we'll have Terry rebut.
Well, look, I mean, I agree with a lot of what both of you were saying, but punishing success is never the answer. It's just not. I mean, here's the reality. If we would do a couple things, number one, control spending, like the $338 billion a year we're spending in illegal immigration, number one. Number two, the billions of dollars in aid that goes to foreign countries, wars that we can't afford. Okay, if we take this, which is billions and billions of dollars, and control our spending, we literally can have balanced budgets. It's been proven that raising taxes is not going to reduce the deficit. It's punishing success. I've never worked for a poor man ever in my life. And the upper echelons paying the higher amount of taxes anyways. So I can't understand the logic in raising taxes. That doesn't fundamentally create or solve a problem. It's just a temporary Band-Aid. Are we going to get to a point where we're paying 70% in taxes because no one wants to actually control their spending?
Steve, you sound like an intelligent guy, and you got to be a realist. Who is the president of the United States?
I'm sorry?
Who is the president of the United States?
Well, I don't know.
Well, Obama. Who is the sitting president that was elected in November of 2012 and will
president,
be our president,
president
for the next
Barack
4 years? Okay.
President
what
Barack
is President Barack Obama? He is a spend Democrat, liberal / socialist. Okay? That's his philosophy. He's not lied about it. He wants to spend. Number two, who controls the Senate of the United States today? The Democrats.
Correct.
Okay, we control one house, which is actually the smaller of the house. I absolutely agree with what you say. It's never going to happen. And we tried to get them both out, and we were unsuccessful in the United States for whatever reason. We have to go into that because I'm going to blame that on the Republicans of why he's still the president. I don't think it was anything to do with it.
A bunch of Republicans are turncoats. We know that.
Well, and they didn't vote because they felt that Romney, but we'll go into that another time. So,
right.
Okay, so what you're saying is absolutely true, and I back you. It's never going to happen. Those guys are going to want to spend. No matter what you say logically, you can say it a million times, and I know you're a talk show syndicator. It's never going to happen. They will never back down. They've already said they're not going to back down. They weren't backing down in the election, and they got reelected. Now, the only thing we could do is, like I said, I support the fiscal cliff because at least it cuts spending, and I got a Senate and a president who absolutely doesn't want to cut any spending whatsoever.
Right.
We're already in debt $16 trillion for whatever reason, and it ain't going away. It's not it's there. It's on the books. So the only way we got a prayer of getting this done is we've got to agree for something with actual cutting. And you are not going to get through, and nobody else is going to get through, just cutting taxes, which I agree with you. Everything you said, I completely agree. It will work. Past history shows it'll work. But in the next 4 years, we're not going to get it through. So how, even though I know it's correct and I know it's logical, tell me how we're going to get that through in the next 4 years when we have no control.
What I believe is the House passes a bill. Submits it to the Senate, and you let the Democrats crash and burn and close the government down like Newt Gingrich.
But they do that all the time, and it still doesn't solve anything. We tried it.
It doesn't, but here's the reality is that if you turn it on the president and you put it on the Senate, the do-nothing Senate, in 2 years there's going to be a midterm election. I can tell you America's not going to be happy, and that's the only hope is to control both houses, and then you're going to be able to get stuff done. But right now, for the Republicans to just turn around and say, hey, you know what, you guys are slick, we're just going to go ahead and go with it, and we're going to punish people that make $1 million or more a year, that doesn't solve anything either. What you've done is you've given them their way. 3 months from now, you'll give them their way again. 6 months from now, you've got to literally put reality into the American people. And if things are going to happen and governmental agencies will shut down, it's going to get people awake, because right now people are asleep at the wheel because it's an entitlement mindset society we live in.
Of course, if you do nothing, taxes are going up anyway.
Right.
So they're voting. The Republicans are voting against themselves.
No, so you agree that we need to do? We're going to be in the fiscal cliff for the next 2 years. I'm okay with that. I told you.
I'm okay with that as well.
I agree with you. I agree with every word you said. I want that exactly to be done, and I want the fiscal cliff for the next 2 years, and everybody's going to have to absorb the taxes, and we're going to get the cuts. Because we have no choice. You know we have no choice for 2 years.
Yeah, I would rather do that and have to be subjected than have Boehner basically say, okay, well, let's go ahead and do this plan B, and anybody making a million or more is going to have a higher tax increase. I would rather have the fiscal cliff, let the American people voice their opinion. Now, if the American people are stupid enough in 2 more years to literally throw out the Republicans and we have a liberal agenda across the board,
nothing we could do.
Then America's doomed.
You're right. There's nothing we can do. So I'm in agreement with you. I don't think we should just vote to raise taxes. I think we should stick to our guns, not raise taxes, go over the fiscal cliff, and see what the voting public wants to do after 2 years.
I agree.
I'm just saying we can't just do what you want because it's not going to happen in the next 2 years. You know that.
Well, yeah.
We lost. We tried. We lost, and I got to admit, on Obama's side, he said exactly what he was going to do.
Yeah,
and he still won.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm perplexed, but he won.
Yeah. Well, America has an entitlement mindset. And the bigger question that I have is, Dave said that you guys have known each other 10 or 15 years, and you're still willing to come on a show.
Right.
We're good friends. It just like you and I, Steve, it shows that you can have somewhat different opinions, although I don't think I'm so much different than Terry, actually. I think we agree to.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, you know what? It's a great show today. Terry, it's a pleasure to listen to you.
Nice to meet you.
And I have a lot of respect for Dave, and you guys have a great day.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Bye-bye.
And Steve Sanchez, a great guy. We're good friends. And he has a great show Saturdays here, nationally syndicated. You got to admire a guy like that. And very cool. Why don't we take another quick break? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. This is the Real Estate Show, Real Estate Update, starring real estate guru Terry Cass. And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. And, of course, Breakthrough Thinking is on Monday through Friday, 2 to 4, with various types of programming today, right now, from 3 to 4. Actually, the fourth Thursday of every month, right. You will hear Terry Cass, real estate guru, we call him. And, Terry, that was a nice segment with Steve Sanchez, segment.
I said I was not disagreeing with him. I was just trying to set him realistic that whatever he said is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not that it's wrong. It's just not going to happen in this.
Not under this situation is what you're saying.
No, and so it's to keep pushing that is unreasonable because it's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's like the Super Bowl of politics. We'll see what's going to go on the next few days. So if you're celebrating New Year's Eve, keep your eye on Congress, but then it's too late. You know what? The cliff is... they don't do something, well, really today, I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't know if they can. They're not even in session right now.
Wait, today's Thursday. Right. Yeah, the first.
And they're all on vacation anyway. Can you imagine running a business this way? Really.
I know.
I always think of this, no matter what party you're with, it's like, this is no way to run a business. Are you kidding me, right?
Well, what business could survive? I don't even know what the proportion of debt is to income.
Yeah.
But nobody in a real world could survive with the debt ratio of the U.S. government.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It is.
You can't spend more than you make every year and get away with it.
Yeah.
The only way you can get away with it is because they can print money. We can't.
Yeah.
If we hand a check, I know a lot of people think if you have checks, you have money. Well, that's not reality.
Yeah.
The government thinks so.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's get into... the real estate market?
What's interesting, we didn't get into it yet, is the fiscal cliff was one of the best things for me in my career there ever was, because on anticipation of taxes going up, all of my owners wanted to sell very quickly.
Oh, good point.
Because of the capital gains going up. So I had a hell of a year, and I think we closed John's with me, my associate.
Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good.
Good. So I think we closed 12 deals in December. Every one of them closed.
They wanted to make sure they get the favorable capital gains.
We had motivated sellers. The buyers were good. Every deal has closed. I've got two more closing Friday.
Wow.
But it was all – and I never seen this before, but there were a lot of discounts being offered in the market – to buyers if they close the deal by the end of the year.
Is that right?
Substantial discounts.
Wow.
I mean, like 10-20% discounts on price if you can get it closed by the end of the year. Now, so you had to be a cash buyer.
So you're hoping for a fiscal cliff every single year. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, it would help for the sellers, but, you know, it's a moot point now. Now, my feeling is in 2013, if everything goes up, including capital gains, my biggest problem is going to be I'm not going to have a lot of sellers. They're not going to want to sell.
Yeah.
I mean, what is capital gains, 15%?
Yes.
When are they talking about bringing 20. It to 20?
20.
Or, I mean, or even higher, I think. Is it 20 or just?
Right now, if it's if the Bush tax cuts expire, then it goes to 20.
Now, is Obama talking about bringing it even higher or not?
No, I think at this, well, no, I don't think so. I think at this point that he's not talking about that.
Okay.
So
if it only goes to 20, it won't be terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably get a little bit of surge in 1031, you know, tax exchanges to save. And I would advise that anyway, because with the market going, I mean, our philosophy is to do tax exchanges all the way to 15 or 16 because ride the value up.
Well, of course, with the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, the effective rate actually on capital gains could go as high, with the highest rate, could go as high as 25% though on capital gains, depending on the income tax bracket at the highest rate. So because that's...
Oh, isn't there a surcharge or whatever on a sale of real estate to
pay for it? Well, the 3.8% tax on investment income, known as unearned income.
Investment... Medicare. Sales or even your personal home?
And now, it could be your personal home after the exclusion. I don't think many people are going to get hit on that because if you're married, filing jointly, that's a $500,000 exclusion. So you're going to have a pretty good gain to fall into this category.
Oh, okay. So
you get the exclusion first.
So it's not just 3.8 on no matter what you sold it for?
No.
It's got to be on a gain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's
with
that's,
real estate?
Not these days. I mean, who's going to have more than a $500,000 gain? Yeah. I haven't seen really that. Maybe
not
once.
Not for a while.
Yeah. So that's not so bad.
I thought it was just a 3.8% as soon as you sell your house to help pay for it.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. You get the exclusion first. So I don't think many people are following.
The
multimillionaire movie stars, perhaps, are going to, you know.
Misinformed because somebody said it was just a tax on sale.
Yeah, so that's not so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so bad on that one. And so anyway, that's what's happening there. But that's interesting how the fiscal cliff actually made a little bit more towards your way on this one.
Yeah, the problem was these things started popping up in December, and the only way to get a deal done that quick is cash, and there's less and less cash buyers. I mean, they're running out.
Yeah.
I mean, they already bought or my guys have four or five properties. They don't have – I mean, they're out of cash.
Well, let's talk about something that I always thought was remarkable with you, Terry, because of your mindset, and then we'll get into some of the market conditions. But you know – What advice would you give? I mean, people, you know, sort of on the drop of a dime, they get scared off. They don't want to evolve, transform, learn new ways, and really have a mindset that, hey, everything's possible. How do you do it? I mean, your mindset is amazing. Always positive, always knowing, hey, there is a way to do this, and you fight for your clients. How do you do that?
Well, the way I do it is I believe in what I'm doing.
Which
that's
is
all
very
it is.
Good.
I just believe in it. I mean, I've been doing this since 1993.
Yeah.
I've watched real estate my whole life, and I know it always goes up.
Yeah.
It always goes up.
Yeah.
I mean, it always will go up. Now, we had the perfect storm hit in 2007, 2008. These decreases were abnormal.
Yeah.
50 and 80% decreases in value was not ordinary. But I knew it would have to go up. Now, as I said before, I got killed. I mean, I had properties.
Yeah.
I went through all the problems and whatever, and I was at the bottom there. But I knew that if things are going to go up and the value just went down by 50 or 80, we should be buying, not getting out. So I called all my investors that weren't in the market and had cash, and there were a considerable amount of them, and said, hey, you know, if you did it in the past and were happy, maybe we should buy it because now we can buy it for a 50 to 80% discount. Well, I got them all in. Now, I think it was my enthusiasm and showing them proof and cash flow and appreciation and market and the fundamentals of Phoenix, which were all perfect. There was nothing wrong with any of those.
Yeah.
So, and I was right. Phoenix is now the number one appreciating home market. It has influenced apartments. They're up. Loans, are, you can get loans again. Cash flow is definitely there. Pop, we're the number one, I think, is fastest growing state again, or one of the top in population growth. Incredible job creation, lower unemployment, perfect weather. We still don't have natural catastrophes. And to top it off, we got the psycho state of California making it fundamentally impossible to do business. So they're all coming here
That's
to Arizona,
true.
Creating more jobs. And they are creating jobs that my renters are getting that rent my type of buildings.
I'll tell you, I'm from California, very pro-employee. Here, pro-employer. Major difference, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Major.
Yeah.
It is very difficult. And the tax rates, too, in California, very high.
Right.
I think 11%, which, or is it, well, maybe
it's
9.
It's a phenomenal state. But if they keep doing what they're doing, it's happening.
Well, they have Disneyland.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Disneyland.
And that's just going to help Arizona. And I got most of my buyers are from California again.
Are they really?
Yeah, I mean, the Canadians are here, but not in the quantities they used to.
Hmm.
The Chinese and the Australians are starting to knock on the doors, but they're mostly East Coast, West Coast, not Arizona. They don't usually come in, or they might hit Miami or Chicago, but not Phoenix.
Oh.
The majority of our buyers are either California or local. I mean, I would say
really?
70, 80% are Californians, and then another 10 or 20 local. Canadians are maybe 5%. Or everybody else is maybe 10 to 5%. Yeah.
Wow. So what I'm hearing you say, and this describes you, you're well-informed, and you take action.
Yeah.
The majority of people out there maybe not, they're hardly well-informed, and they certainly don't take action. They're like the masses. They like sort of sheep, don't you think?
And we have and I have a track record now. I've been doing this since 2009, and I got a resume of properties that every buyer we have has made money, and they're continuing to make money. Now we're just flipping into bigger. I've taken small buyers into bigger properties.
Now, is John superstitious? He just knocked down wood. Did you?
I don't think I did. Did I?
Someone did because you said. You know, hopefully this will continue or something like that.
It will. I mean, every economist, I mean, even some of that we're trying to get on this show has stated that this is going to go through 215, 216, unless something happens national or worldwide that is out of our control.
Exactly.
And you know, that is a fair assumption. There's nothing we could do. And even something like that, I don't think it'll kill the market. It could cause a slight hiccup.
Yeah.
But as long as you buy on cash flow and the icing on the cake is appreciation, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
People still have to live in affordable housing, and what we sell is affordable housing. And most of the jobs being created are in that realm where they're going to be able to, you know, want to rent the apartments that we rent in the $450 to $550 a month range.
I like what you said, as long as you're buying cash flow. Explain that for the listeners.
Well, what happened was in 04, 05, and 06, people bought an appreciation. And it was appreciating supply and demand, negative amort loans.
Right.
It crashed in 07 when all that stuff went away and people that got those loans stopped paying on them. Well, from that point on, we decided if it didn't cash flow at a reasonable rate of return, factoring in conservative vacancies and capital improvements that might happen or whatever, then we wouldn't buy the property.
And, of course, the reason, of course, wanting to buy in cash flow is pretty self-evident that, you know, it can service, the debt service. And you may end up getting a tax loss but positive cash, which is always a nice thing in real estate to be able to do.
And even if it takes a hit in value, it doesn't matter. If you're making an 8 to 10% return on your money, which you can't get anywhere else, it doesn't matter what the value is. It does, but it's not going to hurt you as long as you bought it predicated on that.
And it is nice that Arizona is sort of kicking right now, kicking upward. And that's got to help you with population coming back in. What are we still the sixth largest city in Phoenix?
I think so, yeah.
But soon maybe back. Well, I think we were five And then when everyone started leaving, we dropped.
Yeah, I'm
six.
Not sure, but I know we're growing and our job yeah. base is growing. Everything's positive.
Yeah.
The last numbers I read is vacancy is trending down across the board in apartments.
Oh.
Rents are trending up. Now closer to 5%. Before it was like 1 or 2%. Mm-hmm. We've got new construction of A-type apartments all over the valley. Home values are up 20% year to year. And October to November, we're number one on appreciation.
How long do you think that will continue? It's hard to say, I know. But do you think it's really going to kick again at 20% for next 3-4 years? That's awful a lot.
I don't know, 3 or 4 a year, John, maybe?
Well, here's the issue. Really, it's an inventory issue, and we're going back to the basics. Econ 101, supply and demand. There's low inventory in Arizona right now, and we see that it's going to continue through the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
2013 with the cliff, we might not see 20% increases in pricing, but we come out of 2013, everyone calms down from that, and in 2014, 2015, I think it's really off to the races. We're going to see a skyrocket in pricing if inventory levels don't increase.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's a good time to buy right now, am I right?
Yeah, like I was with a client today. I was looking at his inventory. He bought a fourplex, a nice fourplex, for $170,000 that at one point sold for over $400,000 in 04, 05. Okay? This fourplex today was totally rehabbed and has better rents than it did when it was selling for $400,000. Now, that was the craziness of the loans. He asked me, he says, how high is it going to go? I said, you know what? Realistically, it'll probably go anywhere to $250,000 or $300,000 in the next 2 or 3 years. Mm. I said, it's probably worth over $2,000 now. So his return on cash flow, not appreciation, was 9.6% in 2012. If I sold it and I made him a profit of 20 or 25 after commissions and closing costs, I said you'd be looking at double-digit return in 1 year. But his goal is to hold because he's investing and he wants an income. But I said, realistically, this will probably max out at 250, 300 based on realistic cash flow with rents go, because we're not getting the max rents we should here.
But forget the appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say you buy a building today. This is the great thing about Arizona real estate right now. You buy a building tomorrow, the market crashes and your building's worth zero, you still have income.
Yeah.
You're still cash flowing. Your debt service on a fourplex is $600-$700. You could pay that with 2 units. You're still cash flowing. So let's not talk about appreciation and just talk about cash flow. That's why it's a safe investment in Arizona, and that's why Arizona is such a hot market right now, because I can buy a building, the market could crash tomorrow, and I'm still pulling in income, $1,000 a month on a small fourplex.
Yeah. And it makes sense. If we had 50% vacancy in a fourplex, 50%, which is we've never gotten that high. I don't know what the highest is, but I think it's in the 20s. If it ever got there in apartments, we'd still cover your loan payments and your expenses for the month. Worst case is you'd break even.
Which is phenomenal if you think about it.
And
that's why it's so important to pick great professionals that know these type of concepts. And Terry and John, that's why it's so important to know you guys, because you go way beyond the call of duty. I mean, you know the ins and outs of real estate. You know what's important, and you don't let your clients down.
No, like I said, I started out as an owner, not as a broker. And, you know, I'm not talking from just purely selling. I'm talking about from owning them and running them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it does look decent. I mean, barring any, like you said, unforeseen circumstance, then that's out of your control. But you're right. Most economists that we had, I think Elliot Pollack on about a year and a half ago, roughly, and he said about 2015 you will start seeing stabilization.
And he's not an economist. He's an investor.
Yes, he is.
He is a huge investor.
And very
and
well
right
known.
Now, what do you think he's buying?
Real estate.
No, what kind of real estate?
Land.
Land. He's buying land.
Okay, because of future developments.
He's buying land.
And that's what you're looking at too, right?
Actually, we have identified a parcel. We're looking at it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because we think, like you said, supply and demand. the supply is going down. We're running out of product to buy.
What can you do if there's no inventory to purchase?
Yeah.
We've got to make our own.
Yeah.
We're going to try to make our own. Yeah.
It's a great place in Phoenix, Arizona to do that.
And we're having problems finding improved parcels to build on in the cities, Mesa,
really?
Anywhere, at a reasonable price.
Wow, that is unbelievable. You know, can you believe the show has just flown by? It's hard to believe, isn't it? And we're right up against the top of the hour. How do people get in touch with you, Terry?
I can call Terry Cass at 602-703-5277 or John at 602-471-9397.
Well, this is very cool. We're going to have you on, next month and every fourth Thursday of the month on the magazine, 3 to 4. And this is great. This is very enlightening. We had a little political debate.
That was great.
Like that as well. You guys have a great night, and we'll see everyone tomorrow for Breakthrough Sports. Tomorrow, we'll have the Arizona Rattlers on, probably Coach Kevin Guy. Have a great night.